Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 130 of Star Wars and Scotch. As always, joined by Tim, I'm Kevin.
Hello, I'm Tim.
And we got stuff to talk about today. I finished Jedi Survivor.
Thank God.
We'll talk about that. I'm sorry it took me more than a week.
You're forgiven.
More than a week, Tim. Come on, I don't stream anymore. Like, come on. I was going to stream it, but I...
Did you find every cosmetic? Oh, okay, good.
Whew. I'm still bounty hunting.
I killed really? Oh, that's probably like one of... I wish... We'll talk about it later, but that was probably one of the better activities. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I killed like eight of the bounty hunters.
Yeah, when you get to the end, it's really cool.
And then Star Wars Visions Season 2 released on May the 4th. So Tim and I will dive into those 9 episodes. We're not going to break them down individually. We're going to talk about it holistically.
No. I'm also watching the Young Jedi show with Kyler.
I watched 2 episodes of that with the kids.
Yeah, we did some shorts. We just finished up episode 2.
It's like
very fun.
It's just PJ Masks.
That's all it is, dude. That's all. Like, they're the last episode. Like, literally, before I came down to do this, we were watching an episode, and the entire episode is about these Jedi. Like, the Yoda is training these Jedi's, and he's teaching them a lesson about patience and working together and all this stuff. And it's just that's the entire episode is these three Jedi trying to grab this beacon off the top of a droid, and that's it. Like, that was the whole thing, and it was just it's like Sesame Street for kids, but with Star Wars.
It's PJ Masks, just Star Wars.
If you adults listening right now, if you're looking for something fun for you, that's not it.
No.
But if you have kiddos and you want to expose them to a fun Star Wars with like a notable character like Yoda, but then also getting to meet a bunch of fun protagonists that they can relate with, this is it. It's a really, really good show. I'm very happy with it. And Kyler loved it. I was like, buddy, do you want to watch this? And we watched the 5-minute short. And he was like, yeah, I'd like to watch that. And then watch something else. I was like, okay, he doesn't like this. And so we did a couple times. And now he's like, can I watch the Jedi show? So yeah, they did a really good job. It's so colorful and it's good.
People are asking if it's canon. That's the best part about that show.
Oh, yeah. Well, no one could figure out if it was High Republic for a bit.
It's High Republic
time. You and I had an argument in stream the other day about like how could it be High Republic if Yoda looks just like he did in the prequel trilogy. And it's just he does. He looks exactly the same as he did in episode 1. But
speaking of your stream, real quick, I do have to say this. Oh, that DayZ stream yesterday was amazing.
Yeah, so amazing. For those that didn't know, my buddy Mr. Gibbon, aka Kitten Pitten, he's been playing a lot of DayZ, and his content's been blowing up on TikTok, and he's like, "Oh, Tim, you should be playing DayZ with me." I'm like, "All right, fine. There's nothing going on right now. Gaming's boring. I'll fire up DayZ. I haven't played since college." Some of the most purest gaming just interactions I've ever had. Like, it reminded me of what gaming felt like when I was a teenager, because it was just like meeting random people and playing video games with them and just like having a good time. I'm like, "All right, I'll see you never." So it was cool.
It's because it's not inundated by children.
Yeah.
And people that act like children.
Yeah.
So it's adults that have stuck around with the game. They played it for a long time, or maybe they've come back or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But man, that was a riot to watch yesterday. I was laughing at my desk, and even if I wasn't watching, I was listening and I was laughing because it was just, oh my. And then they found you and oh my God, it was so good. Your chat being like, "Invite him to GCX."
Oh yeah. Yeah. Long story short, I found a husband who was looking for his wife. We found Harry. His wife. Yeah, we found Harry, who was looking for Zoya. We found Zoya, yeah. And then we found a guy named Burrito, and who knew me, and then a bunch of other people who knew me. At one point, this guy was playing my stream through his microphone. It was the funniest thing. It's just like all these interactions was so pure. So yeah, if you're looking for some fun content, DayZ is it. No, I did once. I found him the first day, and I got killed. So by his buddy. So yeah.
If you want it, and if you like MMOs and you want an experience like that where it's like mature people having fun and playing a video game, Lord of the Rings Online. I know it's 18 years old and it's a bit dated, but there's no kids in Lord of the Rings Online. It's not like WoW.
Is there proxy chat?
Yes, you can activate proxy chat.
No way.
Yeah, and it's like, but everyone's very mature. They're there. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, but everyone's very mature, helpful, and nice in that game from my experience. It's not like. Huh. Star Wars has a bad element to it. WoW definitely has a bad element to it. ESO is actually not that bad from my experiences, but Lord of the Rings is like pure. So
yeah,
cool. Well, since Tim didn't invite Zoya and Harry to GCX yet, I'm going to invite you to GCX, GCXevent.com, August 4th and 5th, Orlando, Florida, Rosen Shingle Creek. We're very excited. More announcements will be rolling out next week about more creators you can meet. Some of the other stuff we have going on this year, maybe there's an activity that will you might not want to go to bed. You might just want to stay up all night at GC. Oh,
I know what it is. I know what it is. Universal Studios after party.
Well, that's after. That's the day after.
But I know overnight. What it is. I know what it is. It's the after dark comedy show.
After that, into day two. Maybe there's what more
do you
to
mean?
Do. I don't know. We'll find out. We make the announcement next week. But
GCXevent.com.
Hang out with your friends and do more fun stuff. But yeah, more announcements rolling out next week. Also, King's Coast got their hands on something very cool this week. Tim and I found out 2 days ago.
The internet knows. When we...
Oh, they do?
Yeah. Makers Mark barrels.
We got some Makers Mark barrels from our good friends. What's the name of that liquor store? I do want to shout them out. They deserve a shout out because they gave us the barrels.
WI Spirits, I think. I don't remember.
Is that West Islip Spirits?
I think so. Man, I just pulled that out of my rear end.
Yeah, I think it's West Islip Spirits on Long Island. So they gave us some Makers Mark barrels. And so we'll be dropping a barrel aged. I believe Wayne's trying to get out the door next week, if I'm not mistaken.
Get ready.
So, yeah, so Barrel Aged is coming. Maker's Mark, it's good stuff. Like, this is no joke. So we're very excited to drop that. So kingscoastcoffee.com. Make sure you join the Kings Club, because then you'll be one of the first people to know when it drops. And drops do sell out. And we've had the complaint in the past that, you know, "Oh, I didn't know." Or we've had it where we just release it to the Kings Club and it's gone and the public never even sees it. So,
so you know, you should. Sign up, you know, or it's gonna be gone.
You should think about it anyway. But cool. So let's talk about, what do you want to talk about first? Visions.
Let's get visions. I really liked Visions this time around. So, like, last, I feel like the last season of Visions, the first time that we got to experience Visions, it was very hit or miss. There wasn't an episode where I was like, "That was all right." You know, it was either like, "I really liked that one," or I was like, "I didn't need to see that." You know, like, there was a lot of, I think, like, the one that always sticks out of my head is the Bohemian Rhapsody one.
God, I did not like that one.
The Tatooine Rhapsody, that one.
Tatooine
despise,
Rhapsody.
Yeah. Despise that one. The Obi-Wan K.O.B., whatever the one was, like a robot that was trying to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. T.O.B. Like, one. Toby.
Yeah, that one. But like every single one of these, either like the there's only one out of this entire list that I actually skipped that I just I like it. I started watching it. And I was like, I can't enjoy it. But yeah, like here's all of these.
Here's what shocked me is, you know, I like the ones that probably you liked. Sith was great.
Sith was awesome. Really, really enjoyed Sith.
I loved Journey to the Dark Head, which was the anime one. That one was awesome.
That was awesome. If they could turn that one into an anime series, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
I love the Bandits of Golok. I think that might be my favorite
Of Golok was probably my favorite one.
I love the cultural infusion with that, with Star Wars.
It was
so much fun.
Awesome. Like we got to see a Sith Inquisitor. We got to see Purge Troopers. We had this like really like we had this this Asian influence, like Bollywood-esque. Like it definitely had like that Indian influence. And you could see like they definitely pulled from that, but it still felt very Star Wars. Like there wasn't anything out of the ordinary where I was like, that doesn't feel right. Like even the old woman who was running the diner, like it felt right. Like that entire episode from start to finish was just awesome. And when the brother had to make the sacrifice and he's just like, okay, go. And I was just like, oh, the whole thing was awesome. The train chase. Oh my gosh. It was so good.
Yeah. So those are the ones that you'd expect to like. Now rewinding and going to the rest of them, the only one I ended up not liking, and it wasn't even because I didn't like it, it just wasn't for me, was I Am Your Mother, which I believe was animated by the people that did like Wallace and Gromit and all those.
Yeah.
And
like, yeah.
That was the only one that I was like, not for me, sorry.
I didn't like, I thought it was fun because of, it reminded me of those animated or the claymation movies that I grew up, you know, seeing. I definitely got a little teary at the end. Like there was definitely like,
it was cute.
They were a little teary, but like, yeah, I would agree. In Ayu's song, that one I did not enjoy at all. I checked out.
So Ayu's song, I thought I was not going to like it, but Hunter was watching it with me and Jules was, and they were both enjoying it. So I stuck with it.
Oh, that makes more sense.
And I actually enjoyed the ending. And this is what I'm getting at. A lot of these episodes, like I judged it off the bat.
Same.
And I shouldn't have, and they were actually very good. And those are the ones I actually want to talk about. So IU's song actually had a really good ending.
Damn.
And the reveal of what I thought was going to happen did not happen. So IU's song was great. The pit was pretty heavy on the social commentary.
The one where
really good.
I liked the pit. I really enjoyed it. I skipped through some of it because it was dragging along, but I liked, like you said, like liked the message they were trying to push across with that one.
Yep. The spy dancers. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, how did you feel about like Screecher's Reach?
Screecher's Reach surprised the hell out of me because I had to do Nightmare Control with my son after we watched that one. But I was shocked that the animation style they used didn't reflect the story they were telling. It was like disjointed is not the word because it actually worked. I was just shocked at like it was appeared to be one thing and it ended up being something completely different than that.
Yeah,
it was a little scary at the end.
It was, yeah. When she was fighting the old witch and the Baba Yaga in the cave, like that was intense. And then the ending, I was like, oh my gosh, like I was like, it was gut wrenching. I was like, oh, she picked the Sith Master over her friends, like all these things. It was just like. It was one of those episodes, like you said, where a handful of these were like, you had to get to the end of it to really appreciate the journey. But the journey was kind of lackluster in certain parts. There's a lot of lulls. Like even in Sith, there was a point where I was just like, where are we going with this? And then it gets to a point where you're like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, that was Sith. Screecher's Reach kind of had the, if you remember season one, the last episode, the Akakiri, the one where they go like they end up being Sith at the end, and it's that's what it reminded me of because it was pretty dark at the end. Like, I'm gonna go be a Sith now. I was like, oh, okay. Yep. In the Stars also shocked me, because I was like, I am not into this animation style, but then I got hooked by the story and then it had a really good ending, so I was like, okay. The one that really blew my mind that I thought I was not going to like was the Spy Dancer.
Spy Dancer was so good.
I got very choked up at the end.
At the end, I cried. I got really teared up.
I was like, this animation style is weird. This is like Imperial Cirque du Soleil.
I liked it.
And the French accents, I was like, this is just not for me. But then all of a sudden, I got looped into it. And then the Imperial officer and everything. And then I put two and two together. I was like, oh my God, that's her son. And it just went from there. And I was in. I couldn't believe it. So that's the one out of all of these that surprised me the most, that from the beginning, I was like, I'm not going to like this. And by the end, I was like, oh my God, that was so good.
That was my reaction. And then like Bandits of Galak, where it opened up and I was like, I'm probably not going to enjoy this. And as we kept going on and on, I was like, holy crap, this is really good. The Spy Dancer one, I think I liked the most because it had a lot of adult, it was very adult-esque. It was very Moulin Rouge. That's what it kind of like reminded me of. Like it was kind of like adult, like burlesque almost, kind of like how they were kind of setting it up. Like all these Imperials are there in their night off and they're like, oh, we should have shut this place down years ago, but we know we enjoy it, you know. It was cool. It was really neat. And then like the whole struggle of this mother through the entire thing of living through her trauma and trying to figure it all out. It was very compressed. And I really wanted more. I was like, when it ended and it got to the end, when he was standing on the bridge with the locator and it started flashing and the screen goes black, I audibly said, "Aw, I want to know how this ends. I want to know if they meet up. I want to know how that story continues." And that's the it's like the Ninth Jedi all over again. I was like, man, these stories are so good. I wish that they were, or I hope at some point they're given the opportunity to complete some of these stories, because some of these stories are bangers. And even if they aren't considered canon, I would love to have some type of Visions extended version or Visions whatever that allows us to have more moments with some of these very memorable characters.
So Bandits of Galak was one that left you with the cliffhanger, because so now she's gonna go be a Jedi. You missed the end. I'm gonna say it. IU Song, same thing. They left you at the point where she's going to go be a Jedi now.
I figured that's what was going to happen, was the woman who was there getting the red Kyber and they connected.
I thought she was like, Sith.
Oh, they start off in the beginning talking about how the Sith infected all the Kyber and it was up to the Jedi to have to go in and spend a lot of time purifying these Kyber crystals so that they could use them. And so I thought that was really interesting, where she was like, she was connecting with the red Kyber crystal. So like it was calling to her. So like there was this moment of like, oh, I felt like I got the entire episode at that moment where I was like, okay, that's her Kyber crystal. It calls to her. She needs to purify it. And then this person, they have a connection together. So that's going to be her master. And then they're going to end up training together. Am I right?
That would be my
The one thing I didn't like is that her voice, this whole idea of silencing her and keeping her from saying anything, because her voice somehow has a weird negative reaction with Kyber crystals. I thought that was kind of weird.
Well, no, she ended up purifying all the Kyber crystals on the planet with her voice. That was the hook.
Is that why it was like
reaction? Because you read this thing at the beginning was the Sith long ago poisoned.
Yeah,
them
they poisoned the Kyber crystals.
Dark side. Uh-huh. Her voice purified them. And the cool thing was, Tim, they didn't turn blue, they turned white.
They turned white. So
they went with Star Wars like lore correct when they didn't have to, and it was.
Well, the Kyber crystals. It's like that in Jedi Survive or Fallen Order too. Is like when Kestis goes and picks his Kyber crystal from like the point, it's of no color, it's clear, and so it's not until like I guess you make the decision and put it in there is when it like changes color. Because it was like that too in the Pit one as well, when they were finding Kyber, it was all like. It was all clear. So I wonder if we still needed to
at the end of the Pit though, when she activate, like when she reacts, because you find out she's force sensitive, it turned blue.
Yeah.
Remember?
Uh huh. Yeah. But like when they were digging it out, it was like, it was all clear. It's interesting. I don't know. Kyber property and we need like a lesson on Kyber crystals at some point.
The journey to the dark head story was interesting.
So good.
Because it was all about balance. That Sith was amazing.
I love his
and I don't like anime.
His tail thing, like
that was a kunai.
very anime. It was metallic. It like extended and he could control it. It like came out of his
Scorpion's kunai, essentially. Just
essentially. Yeah. It was just like it was coming from his back and stuff. And it was really neat. It just like it had that anime vibe. It was like stuff that I like. It was very weeb. I enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome.
But even the Jedi character, like dealing with the anger was
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. And then he came to this realization of just like, oh, I understand why I was sent here. And like he cuts the guy's head off and starts falling. I was like, this is a really interesting sacrifice moment. And then she jumps and saves his ass. It was just so good.
It was more of the balance in the Force when like the clouds cleared and both heads were like balanced.
Well, when they realized too, and they were like, oh, I thought it was really cool. And they were like, oh, the dark energy and the good energy are coalescing. Like they're combining into one. And I was like, I mean, like that's yin and yang. Like that's just life. Like good and evil always, you know, intertwine and things like that. It was like, there was a lot of messaging in it. And I thought it was really good. I also liked the realization when she found out that she was a part of the picture and she was like, oh, the third person is me. You know, it's just like, I was like, oh, that's really cool. Because they brought that all around.
Yeah. No, that was cool. The Sith in the Sith episode was.
Oh, he was badass.
I don't know his story. That was even his voice. And like I told, did I tell you? I don't know who I told. I think I told you this the other day. Like any Sith who walks into a room and drags their lightsaber on the ground with the sparks, automatic win for me. I don't know why, but that's one of the coolest things to say.
Because
it's
like that in any other like movie, like when like the bad guy's just dragging, you know, a sword or a crowbar or whatever, and it's sparking, like it's menacing, it's terrifying.
No, that episode was interesting because you thought it was going to go one way, and then it kind of had this whole abstract piece to it. Mm-hmm. And my wife was watching it with us and she was very upset about the droid getting its legs ripped off.
Oh,
Sith, babe, come on. Like, this is what they do. And that's you gotta understand too. That's what Star Wars gets away with. It's like droids can get dismembered all day.
Oh, very
people
much so.
On the other hand.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, like there was
survivor.
Somebody got shot in the head at one point. Someone got their head lobbed off. Like, yeah, I mean, like they definitely didn't like hold back on some of those episodes.
The one thing I'm noticing, and I know these aren't canon, but the one thing that they're really driving home lately is that the Imperials are separate from the dark side of the Force, if that makes sense.
Mm.
Because Disney's really trying to seek the balance messaging that, you know, you kind of need both. But the interesting part is that they've been villainizing the Imperials now. Because I think we went through this period where you and I joke all the time, the Empire did nothing wrong.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Disney's trying to correct that message. Like, no, they're space Nazis. Like, chill.
Because there definitely was a point in Star Wars, like you said. Like, it's just, it definitely got kind of, it was put into a gray area.
Even the spy dancers. I'm assuming they were Deveronians or something along those lines because they had the horns. I don't really know.
Yeah. But the thing that I thought was most impactful with that was that he actually cut his horns off.
That's what I was getting at, because the Imperials don't like aliens. They only like humans. Mm. Yep. So he had actually, it looked like shaved or burned it, whatever, got rid of the horns when the Imperial officer adopted him, which I found interesting too. That
again, I need closure, because like the whole, like this guy just shows up and takes her kid and then pieces out. Like why? Like what led to that point?
Hunter did not like the baby crying in that scene with the K2 droid and everything. He was like, I don't like this. This is very upsetting.
Oh,
he's like, I hope it has a happy ending, because I know not every Visions episode does. So it's like, I hope it has a happy ending. It did. So
it was as happy as you could get with something like that.
Hopeful. It was a hopeful ending.
Very hopeful.
So leave it at that. So yeah, the only one I wasn't into was I Am Your Mother. We had the surprises, which were great. And then there was the ones I like. So my favorite one was Band of Golok. Yep. I would put that as number That's one number for me.
Same.
Number two, probably Spy Dancer, to be honest, or Journey of the Dark Head, one of those two.
Yeah, that's kind of like my top three. It'd be Journey of the Dark Head, or for me, Band of Golok, and then Journey of the Dark Head, and then Spy Dancer.
And then I would say Sith.
Sith is good. Yep. I'd put it up there. Sith and then Into the Stars. I really liked In the Stars.
Yeah.
The only, it was one of those where like, I didn't like it until the very end. Yeah, I didn't like it. But once I understood the full journey, I was like, this is great. This is awesome. The whole idea of like these two sisters, like trying to reconnect with their, or the two siblings trying to reconnect with their mother, and their mother sacrificed themselves. And as they come to find out, they thought that they lost their mother, but the whole time, like her spirit was there with them for like the entire adventure. And I was like, oh, that's really beautiful. Like, that's a really cool story.
That was Hunter's favorite one.
Yeah. Screecher's Reach is right there with In the Stars. Yeah. Really liked that one. See, for me, I would throw The Pit. So my least favorite, the top three least favorite, it would end up being IU Song, The Pit, and I'm Your Mother. I think I enjoyed I'm Your Mother just because of like the art style. I liked how the mom was really goofy, but she was like, you know, trying to like show her daughter that like, hey, like, you know, like I support you and I'm all for this and everything else. Like, I thought that was neat. But it definitely wasn't something that caught my attention.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think we're pretty much on the same page. I know last time we weren't.
No, we were very much so like polar opposites when it came to, other than I think we both liked Ronin.
Yeah, your favorite was Ninth Jedi. My favorite was Ronin, the duel.
Holy shit, Ninth Jedi was so good.
And that was our big contention. Last season, the Elder was amazing. That was the one with the crazy old weird Sith guy.
Oh, that guy was terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. That one. We both liked that one. And then we both liked Lopin Ocho was my shocker last season. That's the one I didn't think it with the rabbit.
Race. Yep.
And then Village Bride was good too.
Oh, Village Bride. I like that one. That was within that was kind of like in the same vein as Ghost in the Shell. And I really liked that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So like those were our favorites last season. But this season, I think, you know, we seem to be kind of maybe swapping a few slots.
I think they found the formula that works for Visions. Like after seeing how Vision season one went and how season two went, I think they found the right studios that were like, okay, they can tell a good Star Wars story. But I'm really intrigued to see like what do they do next? Like where do you go with this?
And please play with culture like Bandits of Golok did into so Star Wars. Good. That's so much fun. There's so many possibilities that opens up, whether it's time period esque, you know, maybe it's like ancient Rome, or maybe we go to like somewhere in Africa or Mexico or South America. Like there's so many things you can do with that mm-hmm. would make it so cool. So please, studios that are making three, even though I know you're listening to this out there,
oh for sure,
please play with culture and mixing that with Star Wars more. That was so much fun, and that's pretty much why it's at the top of my list, because yep. that Inquisitor dude was just awesome,
but it felt so natural, and that was the part. I didn't feel like I was getting somebody's culture just being like just thrown at you because they felt like it was the right thing to do. Like no, they made the culture fit into what Star Wars already is, and it felt very seamless, and it was integrated very well, and it's just like it, nothing felt out of the ordinary. Like it was like, nope, this is a good Star Wars story, this all feels right.
Do you know if in that, or I should say it this way, did you think there were more Jedi there other than the old lady?
Yeah, I thought so. The way that I thought it was going to happen is that it was actually the brother. I thought the brother was hiding the fact that he was also a Jedi. When he started making when all of the plates started floating in the air, and he was like, stop. And she's like, I'm not doing it. Then at that moment, I was like, is he? But like when the Sith, like he was like, there you are, and like picked him up, I was like, is it him? And then he threw him to the side. I was like, oh no. It's like it was this roller coaster of like, which one is it? I was hoping it was gonna be the old lady at the end, was gonna be the Jedi Master, but I wasn't sure if she was like that powerful for her to like just make everything levitate. It was good.
Oh, she was.
She definitely had a Master Yoda moment where she went from like being like old and decrepit to being like, I can wield double lightsabers. Ha ha.
And their hidden temple was so cool.
Yeah. Under the water. It was very cool.
Very Zelda. Like she parted the water and I saw the thing and I heard the from Zelda in my head. Like as the stone opened. It's like, all right, let's go down in the water temple and fight things. Yeah. I think Vision season two seemed to be, I don't want to say it's better because I don't think you can judge it based on that. They're individual episodes from individual studios that have nothing to do with each other, anthology style. So I wouldn't say one was better than the other. I would just say that it seems like we're more aligned in our opinions on these. And, you know, again, I'm not saying I Am Your Mother is bad.
It's just not for you.
700% respect what they did to make that episode. That claymation style of animation is one of the hardest things to do on the planet. So kudos to them. It just wasn't for me. But like I said, my kids loved it. They thought it was great. They had a blast watching it. Both of them.
I really liked how Wedge was like this superstar. Like I loved it. I was like, and come on down to my merch booth. You know, it was just like, it was really good. I loved how they just put this little celebrity twist on him.
Good old Wedge. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to dive into Jedi Survivor after this. So we'll be right back.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
All right, I finally finished it, Tim.
Yeah.
It is not what I thought it was whatsoever.
Not at all, Kevin. What an absolute just roller coaster and a play with our emotions. And Respawn at the end of this, I have come to really appreciate their ability to utilize marketing and smoke and mirror tactics to make us think that we're going to get one thing, deliver us something completely different, and still allow us to enjoy it without, like, really. I found myself constantly questioning it, but every time I questioned what are they doing, I found myself enjoying the story even more.
Yep.
Because it wasn't anything that I thought it was going to be. I thought we were going to get this whole, like, once we found out that it was going to be this High Republic kind of theme, I was like, oh man, we're going to get all this stuff and all the books are going to make sense and everything. And the High Republic, come to find out by the end of it, it was just kind of a theme that they wanted to kind of sprinkle in there to let you know that, like, hey, this exists and we have this cool planet, but we're still going to really focus on Cal Kestis, his adventures, his story, and the idea of the survivors that are left in the galaxy at this moment in time, and what are they doing to survive? And like that was truly the overarching theme through the entirety of that game, was the constant notion of there are survivors that are just trying to stay alive during this weird time in the galaxy where the Empire is running rampant.
I will say this too, now that I finished the game, the book, aside from what I said, I stand by exactly what I said last week. Like, aside from, like, understanding why the gang is not together at the beginning.
Oh, are we talking about Battlescar?
Yeah.
Yeah, Battlescar made no sense at all. I don't understand why.
That was it.
And I'm going to say it again. They battlefront this thing. They are like, okay, we're gonna try to piggyback off of what the excitement that people have for this video game. Let's get a book out there. We know that these nerdy Star Wars people are going to want to know everything about this. Let's see if we can capitalize on it a little bit more and squeeze out a few more dollars. That's what it felt like for me. It was of no structure. It made zero sense as to why I needed to get caught up on Marin's love interest before we get to see her again in the video game. Because that by the time we see her in the video game, and when we get to the point where she find like Kestis finds Marin and they start flirting, I literally said, I yelled at my screen. I was like, what's the point of this book?
Yeah.
Because it made no sense, because they mentioned the spark that Marin and Cal had when they first met. This idea of this force entanglement between two people that, like, outside of their own knowing, the force is kind of like pulling them together. Okay, that's neat. But then she, at 2.5 years after they first meet, she completely gets, the force pulls her in a different direction and then pulls her back to Kes. I don't understand. Like, none of that made any sense to me. I could have lived a very, very happy life without ever reading that book.
Yeah. One fun thing that I've noticed going back and doing the bounties now, which I'm not done with, like I said, but remember I was talking to you about Master Rancisis, Tim? Yes. He's actually the only other character besides Yoda that I've found so far that's in the High Republic and the current era. If you look at that link I said, there's this picture. He's on the council in, I think it's episode 1 or 2. So you'll recognize him immediately when you see his picture.
Yeah, it's the snake guy.
Yeah, he's been mentioned in the High Republic books and all that stuff. When you're on Tantalor, he's the one whose echoes, he keeps talking, if you picked up the echoes, like, about them retreating, because the Nihil, which they only mentioned the Nihil once. I think you missed a huge opportunity, Kevin, to showcase the High Republic with that Nihil attack in the sky. I kind of got mad that that's all we got.
That's all you get, and there's one echo of a crashed Nihil ship that's like in the middle, and it's all rusted out and whatnot. I got so excited when you see the storm for the first time, and I'm just like, is that it? Is that Markion? Is that it? Like, where are we right now? And that was constant. I kept on asking. I was like, where are we in the High Republic at this time when they're on Tantalor, and then all of a sudden Markion shows up with the storm? Where are we? Is he with Lorna D? There were so many things that I wanted to know. And after we finished the game and we were talking about it, I told my chat, I said, the only way that they can fix this, and I'm sure this is what's going to happen now, is that we are going to end up learning the rest about Tantalor and Kobo material, and all of that stuff is going to be told to us through ancillary material, through comic books, through books, articles. It's going to be the stereotypical Star Wars telling method, where it's going to be, you're going to have to go out and find all this information, or go to a podcast, or find YouTube videos, because they aren't going to tell you this in a video game. Just like it feels like we're getting the same treatment for Zepho. It feels like they introduced the Zepho in the first game in like, for me, when I played Fallen Order, I thought they were setting up the Zepho as like this overarching like thing, like that. This is Cal Kestis's adventure, is to learn about the origins of the Force, or to go find these beings to try to figure out how to restore the Jedi Order, whatever. And now it's just like we went from this guy who went looking for a holocron that had a bunch of information about Jedi survivors. We crushed the holocron. And then Kestis becomes a pirate, essentially, and so like I'm really confused with where, like, how we got from the first game to the second game, and then how do we go from the second game to the third game with everything else that we've covered? We've covered the Zepho, but then we find out that it's like, well, we can't learn anything more about the Zepho, so now we're just gonna focus on other stuff. Like, how do you do that? How do you drop that ball? I'm so confused.
So I think the Zepho was a knee-jerk reaction to rewriting lore, and I have a feeling they are stuck now. So it's one of those things that they might just shove to the side and just mention in passing, because it's not as good of a story as what originally existed with the Jedi and all that stuff. It's not. It's just not. Straight up, not as good a story.
Do you think
they flesh it out?
Well, and that's my question, is like, do you think that what they'll end up doing is that they'll now that the Zepho were kind of like put in place with Fallen Order, do you think the Dawn of the Jedi storyline, that part that has been introduced after Celebration or during Celebration, do you think the Zepho are going to get transplanted into there and we'll pick that story back up with them?
I think the Zepho might even predate that, and then we'll pick up a story like,
oh,
with humans starting the Jedi Order, and they'll piecemeal and pick from what Legends content they want to use there to give people enough that they'll be reminiscent of like, oh, okay, they are giving me something, but you know, it has to fit into their box that they've built now.
I hate it.
That's the problem. I'm not a fan of it either, to be honest. One interesting thing about Dagangera too is they don't even name his species. He's just humanoid.
I thought he was the same species as Markion and the mother.
Evereni?
Yeah, he looks Evereni. Like, I mean, like he's gray skinned and he looks like Markion.
He looks like the other Wayfinder too, that Wayfinder Jedi High Republic.
Oh, we only ever saw like a render of her.
And he looks like her. The interesting thing too is we don't know what part of the High Republic.
I know, this is so frustrating. Well, 200 years. We know that he was 200 years from that moment.
So then he's like, so it would between be, what we're reading now and where we were previously.
Yeah, it would be right. But but that doesn't make sense though. Because how do you explain the Nihil showing up?
Well, the Nihil, it could be Asgard Rose Nihil, not Markion's Nihil.
That would be farther back.
No, because there's no Nihil in what we're reading now. They're going to get formed from this.
But that would be later. That would be farther back. That wouldn't be 200 years. That would be even further back, right?
No, because Asgard's going to be after what we're reading now.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, okay.
No.
So that's going into Acolyte.
Right, because...
Wait, how do you know that? But you haven't even finished up
the timeline, you can tell already. There is no Nihil yet. In Cataclysm, I'm reading, like, they just met space pirates, who I'm assuming will become.
Although I'm not sure. Sorry, I'm confused. So you're saying that you think that this time period is in between Phase 1 and Phase 2,
right?
Not between Phase 1 and Acolyte.
That's the piece that makes the most sense, is there is no Markion, or Markion's a kid at this point. Like, I think it's Asgard Rose Nihil.
I got you.
Yeah, that was attacking just based on some of the evidence that we have.
The other thing that we are going back and forth about is, you know, did they get the path to Tantalor from Santeca? You know, or like, because that was the whole thing. I was like, how did the Nihil learn about Tantalor when it was supposed to be this like safeguarded secret? And it was really hard to get through the nebula, but then all of a sudden Nihil show up.
Yeah, it could have been, is it Mari Santeca?
Yeah,
it could have been. They got a path from Mari Santeca. Because just in the Phase 2 era that we're in right now,
mm-hmm.
the path of the open hand is building the Gaze Electric.
Right.
So it's not even active yet, which means there's no Nihil, there's no Mari Santeca, there's no any of that, and I'm assuming that's what's going to be revealed in the next few books and comics. Yeah. Excuse me. So I'm guessing this is somewhere in between that.
We'll end up going back. We're going to go back to Tantalor, and we're going to learn more about that planet. We're going to learn more about the Kobo material and everything that they were doing. But we're
Kobo
definitely
dust
not.
Makes no sense right
I
now.
I don't understand. No. I also, Kevin, you and I were talking about this the other day, but I find it really frustrating for me. Let me roll this back. I would like to say, I think the Jedi Survivor story, if you just look at it from a video gaming perspective, amazing. I thought it was fantastic. Now, what I'm frustrated with is the cohesiveness of the storytelling across different mediums, from going from book and comics to video games to TV. The TV shows have been very, very cohesive. The books and comic books, very cohesive. My issue is this is the only up-to-date Star Wars video game that we have right now that is canonical. We don't have any other piece of Star Wars video game material to pull from. And I am finding this to be very, very inconsistent with storytelling, in the sense of, if you want to have a cohesive storytelling experience to go from beginning to end, and you are going to do everything, you're going to read books, you're going to read the comics, you're going to watch the shows, watch the movies, play the video games, you get to this point where you and I have put so much time and effort into figuring out how all this story works out with the different eras of the High Republic. And we get to this point where the High Republic and the Galactic Empire get to essentially, they get to meet. It's a bringing of these two different timelines together for us as Star Wars fans to experience. And it was just a brief flash in the frying pan when they made it seem like it was going to be this massive thing. So my point, Kobo material, what the hell is this? This material that they have been able to harness and utilize and turn into bridges that materialize as you walk across them. Why did that not go back?
Synthetic? Is it organic?
But why did the High Republic technology that was on Kobo, why did it feel so alien? I thought it was Zepho. I was like, there's no way this is High Republic technology. It makes no sense. It's too futuristic. It doesn't even look like the stuff that we have right now. So how is it that they are able to create all of this new material and all these new pieces of technology, and none of that makes its way back to the core worlds? It makes no sense to me at all. I don't understand. Like, if they would have said that was a Zepho research facility, I would have been like, cool. That makes so much more sense to me. But Kobo is the most outer rim territory that they could get to, and they were going to be like, all right, we're going to set up shop here. We're going to go to Tantalor, and that's going to be the new place for us to explore from. This is going to be our new forward operating base.
But you want my conspiracy theory?
I would love it, because that is probably my biggest gripe, and I bitched about it so much during my playthrough. Because it was so inconsistent. It just felt like they made this thing to be attractive without thinking of the repercussions of how does this consistently carry our story along. And it was, I really think that it was just used to be like, oh, that's cool looking.
All right. Taking my lore nerd hat off and putting my business hat on. Do you remember when I came out of the theater, or you weren't there, but my take on the Joker movie?
Yes, I have heard this rant a handful of times.
As a diehard Batman fan, I absolutely hated the Joker movie. I thought it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen. I thought Joaquin Phoenix did a bang up job with one of the worst scripts he's probably ever been handed. I thought the city was lifeless. I didn't feel like Batman. My theory is that somebody pitched a movie about mental illness to whomever at Warner Brothers, and this schizophrenic, crazy psycho killer, and they were like, what if we did like Joker, Batman here instead? We could sell so many more of these,
yeah,
you know, tickets and whatnot. And that's how you got the Joker movie that, in my opinion, was horrendous. It's one of the worst representations of Batman I've ever seen in general. Like the whole thing with Thomas Wayne, like he's this rich billionaire who just happens to be an asshole. And it's like, okay, I've seen Thomas Wayne involved with the mob, but we fleshed out that story with no context. He's just an asshole. In every other thing, he's like a humanitarian, you know, all of this stuff. And all of a sudden he's just an asshole. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this makes no sense. This is poor writing. And then the city didn't feel like Gotham at all. Gotham is always like, it's a mix of a lot of American major cities, Chicago, Pittsburgh, New York, you know, and Metropolis is always LA. That's always how we did it. This was just like, yeah, we're going to film this in the Bronx and call it a day. Like, that's the end of it. And I was like, this is lifeless. Here's what I think happened with this. Okay. You had your Zepho story.
Yep.
It was supposed to continue in this game.
Yep.
The pitch came to Lucas and Respawn's team meeting, and Lucas was like, nope, we're not on that right now. We're not working with that. We want to work with the High Republic.
Yeah,
that's where our initiative is. Yeah, that's what we're introducing to everyone. So they changed the whole story. I have a feeling that Jedi, Degan Gara, maybe it wasn't Degan Gara.
He was supposed to be Starkiller?
No, I think he might have either been an old Republic or Dawn of the Jedi that had been frozen in stasis since, you know, the time of the Zepho or whatever that story was going to be originally. And Tantalor was probably some ancient Jedi temple from back in the day. And maybe it was the first Jedi temple before Octo. Who knows? Something along those lines. And then they were forced by Lucas to make it all High Republic.
I mean, it feels like that, doesn't it? Because look at the timeline too, Kevin. They pushed it back. All the patches that they've had to do. I didn't even think about that.
Now, if that's the case, and I'm not saying it is, it's just my general feeling on it. I think they did a bang up job for what they were given.
They made they literally made Red Dead Star Wars. Like, if you want to think about it, it was a dumbed down version of Red Dead Redemption, and it had a Star Wars skin on it. It didn't work. It was fun.
Yeah. So it was pretty awesome. I enjoyed the story. I thought the Marin book and Marin video game characters felt like two completely different people.
Yep.
It didn't make any sense to me. It actually made less sense why Marin went on her sexual exploits. And I don't care that she did, like, whatever, have your fun, but it just didn't seem like Marin.
It felt forced.
Yeah. So, Grease was amazing in the game.
Loved it.
Very much a character change in him. And again, in the book, he's still Grease. In this one, he feels like almost beaten down, tired.
He's gone through some trauma.
Yeah. And I will say, towards the end of the book, you do start to see a little bit of that from Grease. So they did begin to prepare you, but not to the level that I thought it was. I thought the shopkeepers and whatnot were all so original and fun and different and cool. And the ideas behind building it was very much, I'm trying to think like a game that has housing, like an Elder Scrolls game or something. It was like, build out your cantina. And if you do the side mission with the woman sampling nature sounds out in Kobo somewhere, then you get a DJ in there. Like,
it was so good. I love the DJ.
I love how he's just like this the whole time.
Nothing but the Who playing the entire time.
Yeah, it was fun. Now, I will say the variety of planets I wasn't impressed with.
Same.
Jedha didn't feel like Jedha.
Jedha felt just like a desert planet. It felt like Tatooine.
And the one mission, I think I did it for like an hour and a half to get to the main temple area.
Oh, where you do the flying through the air segment?
Felt like forever.
That was
the flying through the air boss fight was great. The part before that get to that felt like, oh my God. Like,
took a while.
So there was scenes like that. And then just the back and forth was like Jedha, Kobo, the moon. And the moon felt like, I'm not gonna lie, the moon felt empty.
I mean, like, you're talking about the moon that has a science base that's on it. Yeah, and then I really liked going. I really liked how they flipped and they made the ISB the bad guys. I thought that was
awesome.
The ISB base was really cool. I liked how we had like ISB officers and stuff. But what's weird is that once you beat the game and you go back, the Purge Troopers. So the lore is Vader and the Purge Troopers go in and clean up the remnants of the ISB officers that you didn't kill. And so then it's just Purge Troopers and like robots and stuff that are all in the base, because there's now, if you go back, there's echoes everywhere of you chasing Bode through the map, and there's like lightsaber scars and stuff everywhere. And then there's a point where it's an echo of the Purge Troopers coming in and killing everybody. So like, it's cool that they tried to make the game feel more alive for endgame stuff. But that was definitely one of the things that I was frustrated by, is I was hoping that I was going to have more reasons to play after the story. And I didn't have any reason to really like want to boot up New Game Plus right off the rip. And I tried it, and it was just like there was nothing about New Game Plus other than the modifier that you could slap on that made everything feel realistic, which was really cool. I mean, like walking up to a security droid and cutting them in half like instantly with a lightsaber, very neat. Getting shot by one blaster bolt and dying, sucks ass. It's like if you want to play Elden Ring on meth, then go play Survivor on New Game Plus. It's wild.
You need that modifier on, right?
But you can turn it on and off, which is cool. I mean, like, there are some things about endgame that like I can see for speedrunners or people who want to like perfect the fighting. I will say that the fighting this time around felt a little weird. I think it was also learning all the different stances, which I thought was cool. It was nice to have the ability to customize Kestis to the way that I wanted him to play and look. The amount of people that got the Kay Kona Kestis and they put the mullet on and made them all American and like red, white, and blue.
Oh,
like
my
that,
God,
that was hilarious. It was still really fun because I like the way that I played my playthrough was very different how you played your playthrough, or people in chat were playing it and they're like, oh, I use this combo. What combo are you using? I'm like, oh, I'm using double sabers and blaster or cross guard. You know, it's just like there's a lot of different ways to go about playing the game, which is cool. And then if you do New Game Plus, you get to keep all of the experience points that you unlocked. So then you can just keep leveling them up to the point where he's just maxed out at the end, which is cool. It's really neat. They did a good job. I am still very worried. It sucks though, because like I feel like with all of the technical issues that the game has gone through, the terrible performance, the crashing, this is their fourth patch that they've pushed. They're pushing a patch out today, yesterday. The PC patch drops in a couple days, but this is their fourth patch since release. The game came out a week and a half ago.
Oh.
So I think going back to what you said earlier, Kevin, is like that is not very Respawn. Like Respawn's pretty good at like putting out a polished product. Right. And for them to put out this type of product was very odd. And so I think you're right. I think there was a drastic change in direction for narration, for the narrative of the story halfway through the project. And I think they got caught up in a grind, and I don't think they wanted to crunch. And I don't think they wanted to push the game back anymore. So we kind of got what we got.
Yeah, I would say that I pretty much have voiced like my biggest gripes with it. I don't want to beat it up because I really enjoy it.
No, I love the game.
You mentioned performance, and like the Ravis fight was completely ruined for me because when I was talking to him after I beat him, he was doing this on the screen.
Dude, when I finished it, he was standing in a corner and then he like fast forward walked past the screen and he just like wasn't there ever. It was wild.
He was going like this, and then when he asked me for his warrior's death and I did it, he was bouncing up and down between the ceiling and the floor.
So I had the exact same problem.
Scene was ruined for me. So yeah. I was annoyed at things like that.
Jendai are the coolest though. Oh my god.
Yeah, if you remember Dirge from freaking the old Clone Wars, the original, the Tartakovsky ones, Jendai was the bomb. And that fight sucked. I didn't even play. I played on default and it was still like, good God, die. And Vader gave me the most trouble.
Vader
didn't give me trouble until halfway. So there's like this, the first two phases, you're like, oh, this is not that bad.
Uh-huh.
And then he starts throwing shit at you and one-shotted me once. I had full health with Seer and he threw one of those things. It must have crit me or something because it was like, boom, you're dead. Thanks, start over.
Yeah. Yeah, once you push him into the bookcase, it was just like, man, he's pissed.
Getting to play as Seer and feel the difference between Seer and Cal was awesome too.
Yes, it was really showing the difference between someone who is lost and trying to find their way versus someone who is a Jedi Master. And it was really cool to see and feel. Like you feel it. There's no way to really describe it other than you feel the difference when you are playing, which was cool. It was really neat they were able to translate that.
I really enjoyed Cal tapping into the dark side and that it stuck.
That's when
you felt OP.
Yes, giving your protagonist the ability to have a berserk mode in any story is so good. And I just loved the modifiers that it introduced. Like once you learn the ability to lift and drop things and you grab a security droid while you are in rage mode and you hold it long enough, it will crumple in on itself.
Yes, I did that too.
Little things like that is just like, it's really cool to just see these little twists that you can add where it's just like, ooh, that was neat, but you only get it at special times. Like that was good.
To the B2 battle droids too. You can
crush them.
Yep.
Sick.
It's that mode was because I was wondering how you were going to get back from Bode's apartment through
all
Imperial
of the ISB
security.
Stuff. Yeah.
I was like, that's gonna be one hell of a fight to get out. And I was like, oh no, don't worry about it. You're gonna get stabby stab galore. So I would assume in the next game it's gonna have Cal dealing with now his ability to tap into the dark side.
I would assume it was weird. So you don't get to keep that when you do New Game Plus. it goes back to just like stopping to like slowing down time and whatnot. Okay. So you don't get it until like even the abilities in New Game Plus, like the lift and drop, you don't get that until the story point again. That was one of my other gripes with New Game Plus is like I felt neutered after playing the game and getting all the way to the end.
So BD1 like, doesn't have like all of his little gadgets and stuff.
You have to go. I'm not playing
New Game Plus. I thought I could go back and like unlock all the areas.
The air dash through the green force fields. You have to learn the air dash to then go back to Coruscant a second time to then do the air dash. Yeah, it's repetitive. It gets repetitive. A lot of people are like, I'm not doing New Game Plus. I'm just going to continue my normal save and go
on. The whole point of New Game Plus is to have the abilities off the get-go. So I understand they're tied to the story, but still, like, we are.
You end up with XP that you dumped into certain moves, and those moves aren't unlocked until you get to them. So then you're just like, oh, I guess I'll put the XP somewhere else. So
I'm not playing it. I was going to, but now I'm not going to.
So I wouldn't. It's not worth it. The only thing that's cool, you get a red lightsaber, and then you also get a party lightsaber, which is every time you swing, it changes colors, which is really funny.
That is fun. I like that.
That's it.
And then I would assume Kata is force sensitive and you'll be training her.
Oh no, well, so almost definitely that entire the pyre scene with Seer, most definitely that was her telling him, it was like, this is your next step, this is who you're gonna take on as your apprentice.
We'll get force ghost Seer in the new game.
Oh, 100%, dude. The way that she was like silhouetted behind him and whatnot, and she was talking to him, very Obi-Wan.
I do want to touch, because I have to run to a meeting, but want to touch on Bode real quick. I thought Bode was, I didn't trust him from the get.
Yeah, there was something off about him, but I was a Jedi. Like the whole, nope. And everyone was like, even someone tweeted at us, they're like, how did he not know if he was force sensitive? I was like, let's go back into all the Jedi who have disconnected themselves from the force. Like the Emperor does it. All of these Jedi do it. Like it's not unheard of for someone to be disconnected so intensely from the force that another force user couldn't sense them. But I love that. I love that I thought he was a bounty hunter. I was like, this guy's dirty. He probably found him in some back alley, you know, backwater planet, but like, whatever. He's a part of the crew. The whole idea of this guy becoming like, it's the normal story of the desperate father who has nothing left to give but himself. That's it. Like he's run out of options. The biggest thing in his life is his daughter, because his wife died. So this guy's broken and all these things. Like I was really hoping at the end though, he was going to have a turning point. I was really hoping that at the end, it was going to be his realization that his daughter was the most important thing in the world and him being selfish was not it. But it was gut-wrenching to be like, okay, you picked you and your wants and needs over your daughter, even though all you did the entire time is use her as a meat shield for all of your excuses. Like, it was crap. And I'm honest to God, I'm glad he got what he got, but it was a big surprise, and I really liked how they utilized that character in the way that they did.
Yeah, I was kind of at first I thought he just pulled out a lightsaber, and I was like, he had a lightsaber the whole time, but no, it was Dagon's lightsaber, because that's you left it after the last fight with Dagon. That was another thing I didn't like, having to fight Dagon three times. Like two, I can understand.
I will be honest, the way that you take him out too is very anticlimactic.
Yep, I'll give you that. Oh, the fight on the ceiling was kind of cool.
That was super sick. It was cool. But I just like, for this character that they built up so much, back to your, I know you have to go, the storytelling, it didn't make sense. It was disconnected.
I also did not like how he bled his crystal. I thought you had to go
out. Just instantly? Dude, he just like does a spell and it turns red. Everyone was like, wait, I thought you had to kill a bunch of people and do evil, heinous acts for it to bleed. And I was so confused by that. But now that's canon.
Yeah, I mean, they got to address that, because we were all under the impression you had to go out and do evil shit with it. Now, purifying it is what Ahsoka did and what Aang does in the visions. But I always thought, so that was a little weird. But back to Bode. So Bode was a great ride, because, it, like you said, the desperate father storyline, it's a classic tale, but you were at that point, you're attached. Yep. And you know he's not doing it because he wants to, he's doing it. If you said what you just said to that character would disagree with everything you said and said, no, I am doing this for my child.
He's a narcissist.
Right. Because that's just what's in his head and how it's playing out. So it's very interesting that they bring the moral conundrum into the whole scenario. And especially at the end with the daughter pleading with him and everything. And then Marin's got to save the kid at one point because she's going to fall off the bridge. It was a lot to take in. And I said that when I finished it, I said to you and Ben, I was like, oh man, you know, like I didn't want to kill him, yep, but you also had no choice because he was going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, even the daughter said, like, Tantalor's lonely. I don't want to be here. I want to be around people. So it was just, you know, and the interaction you have with her on the ISB base is really touching. And it gets a lot
better the more you fly around with her in the ship. They talk about, they like, her and Marin are very like, they're very much so friends, and she kind of takes on this mother figure. But the more conversations that they have, the more I really start to like Kata, because she's just like, she's just this new element that makes everybody feel different than how they felt at the beginning of the game.
And I will say this to everyone playing this. I haven't finished this yet, and Tim alluded to some of this too. If you finish the story, go do the bounties and go do the rumors. If for nothing else, if you're into the story, just to get the new echoes. Like,
yep,
it is so telling as to every scenario that you are in that Bode, you know, even Bode threatens. Did you get the ones under the landing pad on Kobo?
Yes. There's also one on Coruscant too. So after you beat the game, while you're still in your current save, you could go back to other planets and new echoes pop up for where you were. And it's constant conversation of Bode with different people, like the ISB officer and just himself, or just like, you know, he's dealing with all of these issues of like, you know, should I do this? Should I not? It was like, wow, it was dark. It gets really good. I just wish they would have put that storytelling in the main game.
The Tantalor one was rough too, with them singing the lullaby.
Mm-hmm.
That one was brutal. But yeah, well, the interesting thing too, and then we're going to get out of here. The ISB agent, like you said, Vader and the Purge troopers went and purged everything on it. The ISB agent that Cal encounters didn't know that they attacked Jedha, which I found very interesting, and freaked out because he all of a sudden knew what was about to happen. I don't know if that was his sector, whatever it is, or because Bode was under his command. Like, I don't know how that worked. I don't know how Bode got a message to the Inquisitory versus ISB too, to manipulate the situation in his favor completely. So that whole story was very interesting, the way, again, the inner workings of the Empire, where the hand doesn't talk to the foot, and then the hand murders the foot because
I think the only thing that we just haven't touched on, and we might want to talk about this next week, but I did enjoy how they worked the path that we learned about in Kenobi into this.
Yes.
And knowing that there are it could be Kestis and Marin who, you know, are the ones who started the path, and then Kenobi learns about it later on. Because remember, this is the same year. It's 9 BBY. So it's the same year that Kenobi is happening, and Marin and Kestis and all of them are off doing their own thing. So the path, as it started, we found out that it starts in Jedha, but they wanted to use Tantalor as the new place for the path. And so, like, I'm really intrigued to see what connects the stuff that we learn in Obi-Wan, the stuff that we learn in Survivor. In the third game, are we going to get this convergence of the show and in the game? I don't know, but I thought that was really neat. I really liked how they worked that in. Was it Force? Was it fan service? I don't know, but I really enjoy learning about that more.
Yep.
There you go. Kevin, what's your rating out of it real quick before we get out of here? What would you give the game?
7.5 to 8. The gameplay was the little things we talked about, the blocking windows and just stuff I wasn't crazy about, the variety of planets and the back and forth. But the story was fun. I think it's a must play as a Star Wars fan.
Yes.
150%. If you haven't played Fallen Order, play them both, please.
Yes.
And then, you know, like we said, do the bounties at the end. I'm still not done. So I know Tim said there's a payoff for me there. So I'll report back once I finish those.
Yep. Yeah. And the character that you're working with, she's fun too. But yeah, I gave it 7.5 on stream. So, yep,
we're very aligned today, Tim. This is very look at uncharacteristic. Look at us. Well, you should go check out Tim. You playing DayZ again today? I'm assuming.
I think so. Yeah. There's nothing.
I'll be there this afternoon. I got to run downtown for a meeting with doing a workshop, Tim, with the mentor guy.
Oh, nice. That's exciting. Well, let me know how that goes.
Yeah. Very exciting. You can check out timfb.gg/darkness429, darkness429 everywhere. I'm Kevin Exhibition on Twitter, KMagic101 on Instagram, and we are Star Wars and Scotch, or Star Wars Scotch, everywhere on the internet. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out immensely when you do that. So please engage and have some fun. Next week, we got our buddy Frank coming on the show. Technique will be here.
Nice.
If you don't know Technique, T-E-C-H-N-I-Q on the internet. So go check out him. Huge Star Wars fan. Friends with a lot of folks who have made like Star Wars comics and things like that.
Yeah.
He's the host of a show for a while called Comics. So we'll probably get into a little bit of a comic book discussion with Frank, but Frank really wants to talk Star Wars with us. He's been dying to. So got him. We got Darth Chaco's coming back the week after that.
Nice.
We got our friends like Around the Galaxy coming on in the future. Alex and Molly are going to come on before GCX. They'll be at GCX, by the way. Some of the other Star Wars friends that we have. So stay tuned. Lots of guests coming on in between now, Ahsoka and GCX. But we will Star Wars Discussion will be live at GCX, just so you all know. So make sure you come. It's a panel we do every year. You'll be able to watch it online as well, but there's nothing like doing it in person, being able to ask questions and things like that. So cool. Have a great one. And as always, Tim.
May the Force be with you.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.